right, 807 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Shauna Dalton, Dr. Bill's got our update coming around 8:35. Actual dry air. It's not cool air, but drier air.
Just any relief, I'll take it.
A little bit of relief coming by the end of the week. We'll get more details on that in just a little bit. Plus, Kane keeps us updated with traffic, and it is a Tuesday. We say hello to Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, also the author of the Mad Jones Trilogy, available right now. If you're shopping for paper products, if you're shopping for a new pair of tennis shoes, whatever you're getting over at the Amazon, you can also pick up the Mad Jones Trilogy, right?
Yes, indeed. Mad Jones Heretic is the first one, and you really should try it. We keep saying this every week. Go on Amazon, order it for $15. You'll find it's a really fun read. It's a novel. It's fiction, and it should make you laugh. In fact, they even have mimes that talk, and they have iguanas wearing bonnets. It's all kinds of good stuff.
There you go. Get that in a James Cameron movie, huh? You get that.
Exactly.
A lot to talk about this morning. We'll start off with the non-story about Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh and the retraction and where we go from here.
Well, people paying attention to this yesterday know that first the New York Times came out with what was supposed to be a bombshell, yet another one about Brett Kavanaugh, and then within hours, the New York Times was retreating because they had withheld absolutely crucial information about their supposed bombshell, which makes their bombshell look like look fairly idiotic. They said that they had somebody else who remembered another story about Kavanaugh supposedly exposing himself at a different Yale party. What they didn't tell you was that their own reporting showed that that the girl who was the supposed victim of it refused to be interviewed because she doesn't even remember such a thing ever happening. And secondly, the guy that reported it wasn't there. He heard it third hand, and he was a Clinton defense lawyer during Whitewater when Kavanaugh was on the other side, so he's not exactly an unbiased source.
Yeah, you would think that somebody in the editorial staff would go, okay, where's your confirmation on this, and who delivered this story?
Exactly. But, and this is what I want to stress, so the New York Times story was just ridiculous the way that they actually published it. But the book itself that these are excerpts from actually does have some explosive material that the New York Times editors ignored and that the rest of the non-conservative media is ignoring, and that is that the woman who was supposedly the other female teenager at the party with Christine Blasey Ford, you know, the one where she said that Kavanaugh supposedly pinned her to the bed for a second and groped her a little bit. That woman, now, Leland Ingham Kaiser, who is a noted Democrat, by the way, has gone further now even than before in saying that not only does she not remember the party, does not remember any such gathering of any sort, but now she says that it doesn't make sense. She has reason not just to not remember, but actual reason to doubt because it made so little sense the way that Christine Blasey Ford presented it. This is a lady who is a liberal, ex-wife of and still works with Bob Beckel, the noted liberal commentator. She has been under pressure from all her friends. She has been under pressure from liberal activists to change her story. But she says the truth is the truth, and this doesn't make sense. That's big news, and yet the media is ignoring it.
Yeah, I was looking through that. She talked about the high level of pressure put upon her to make her story a certain way. I wonder how many people that are involved in this might come out now and say, you know, we got that same pressure on us.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be, because anybody who's dealt with the left with regard to judicial nominations or big other nominations knows just how vicious they can be. Bill Pryor, our own Bill Pryor from Mobile, would not be on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals if I hadn't gotten wind back in 2003 of their underhanded tactics and publicized them before they could lower the boom on them. But they were basically close to making up something out of whole cloth against him and totally smearing him. And you know, it's just lucky that I got wind of it. Of course, everybody knows what they tried to do to Clarence Thomas. Everybody knows what they did to Robert Bork back in 1987, where they completely smeared one of the finest judges of his generation. They play for blood, and it's sickening.
Quinn, the president tweeting about this, you know, like he does so many other news topics, but he said that Kavanaugh should start suing for libel or something along those lines. What do you think Kavanaugh should do? Should he let it lie? Should he start fighting back? What do you think the right course of action is here?
He's a judge on the Supreme Court. He doesn't need to respond. Luckily, there are enough honest, and in most cases, but not all cases, conservative people, journalists out there that very quickly have unearthed the real truth again, and I think we're doing a pretty good job defending him. So he doesn't need to. That's sort of beneath the, you know, once you're on the court, you tend not to get involved in these things, and you know, unless it picks up steam, I think he should just ignore it.
Yeah, but there's a hard part of that because, sure, you have a lifetime appointment, you're there in the court, but that doesn't change, like, what people around the neighborhood, you're still a human being, right? You have a family, you have a wife, you have people talking, your neighbors talking about you. There's something that must be said for that.
Well, again, yes, there is. And if there was nobody else exposing the New York Times story for the piece of BS that it is, then you would be, even on the Supreme Court, you would be tempted to call a press conference and deny it. But again, in this case, the Times story was so quickly debunked, at least for anybody with half a brain that's not a hard left ideologue, it was so quickly debunked that I don't think Kavanaugh needs to get out there himself, because this story just doesn't hold up. I mean, if the only witness for this wasn't even there, was told by two other people, one of whom wasn't even there, and he is a longtime enemy of Kavanaugh's, a Democratic operative in a factor, Democratic lawyer, and he told it about a girl or young woman at the time who says it never happened, then what is there? It's nonsense.
Yeah, I think the key to the whole thing is the person saying it never happened. You know, that's the key to it. They can't take back what Kavanaugh went through, you know, in that Senate hearing, confirmation hearing. But going forward, maybe it'll keep some other paper somewhere else from publishing something until they get some actual substantiation on it.
It might. Yeah, it would be nice. And meanwhile, I do want to say this woman, Leland Ingham Kaiser, who is the real heroine, who resisted the pressure. She has had all sorts of health problems, some of her own making, but some, she's got pins in her neck. She's had a horrible neck injury. She's had knee replacement. Her son has a GoFundMe page out there. Her last name is K-E-Y-S-E-R, first name Leland, L-E-L-A-N-D. And she's had a rough time, and she's still stayed strong. So if you're so inclined, go to the GoFundMe page for her.
All right, Quinn, hold on. We could come back from the break and talk more about Election Day. No, I'm not talking about Spanish Fort and Fairhope with the vote. I'm talking about what's going on in Israel, and get Quinn's take on the latest issues between Iran, Saudi Arabia, and I would argue the United States. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. It's my buddy Trey, and Trey's been doing business for 11 years in our city and Mobile, Baldwin counties, commercial properties, residential properties. So, you know, could be a storage unit, could be your office. You might have coworkers that have hauled a bunch of extra furniture into your office. Am I projecting?
You might be projecting.
Just in this mysterious world that's mm-hmm. probably not the reality of us, they have found a bunch of furniture people were giving away in another office and hauled all this furniture into the studio, into your place of business. And now there's piles and piles of furniture that you're having to wander through. You might say, how am I going to get rid of this?
This is getting to be a little specific.
Generally, if this happens to people, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Listen, it's not just stuff inside as well. Talk about you got big stuff outside in the yard. You know, you've got a swing set, and your youngest child is starting graduate school. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and let it go. And 1-800-GOT-JUNK can make that happen. It's real easy to make that appointment, too. And it's a specific time on a specific day for your appointment when you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Call me. We got to set something up. All right. Back to our conversation with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Also read his work in the Washington Examiner and the Mad Jones trilogy, available for sale now on Amazon.
On Amazon. And I've got to say, before we move to the next topic, there's a breaking news, new evidence uncovered. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh was caught naked with three nurses just moments after his birth.
you had a people were Googling that until you hear at his birth. Okay, Quinn, and Lord knows there may be the next set of allegations to come out, and we'll go through this again. Hopefully not. Let's switch gears and go international here. And the elections in Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud party, kind of lay it out for us. What's at stake here?
Well, first of all, I've got to say I've got my source very high up in Israel, and I emailed him. He just emailed me back, said it's too soon to know what the results are. But what's going on is, for a second time in 5 months, because the first election was inconclusive, they are having a national election in Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu is going for a record fifth term. He thought he had won it 5 months ago, but one of his coalition partners pulled out at the last minute for various reasons, and so he was not able to put together a majority coalition. So they're having another election, and it looks like the same kind of thing where nobody's going to probably, if the polls are right, nobody's going to have an obvious majority coalition because the same group that it's going to get like 8 or 9 votes probably, or seats out of 120, is probably going to hold the balance of power. And again, they are refusing to join Netanyahu if some other members of Netanyahu's coalition are in there. So it's if you can follow all that, what it basically means is you have a stalemate likely continuing in Israel if the polls are right, and it's almost anybody's guess how the stalemate gets broken.
And what are the big differences? Because, I mean, people watch this, and we go from, like, a Republican system, little r, Republican system, like we have here versus a parliamentary system. What are, like, if you have that stalemate, does that mean the government doesn't function, or what doesn't happen with that stalemate?
Well, what happens is if they have a stalemate, the current administration stays in power during the course. They basically need to call it yet another election if nobody in. I think they have 30 days to put together a majority coalition. If they can't do that, they've got to call yet another election. And in the meantime, the current administration usually stays in power by default. And it's not like they're manipulating it because obviously they don't want to have to go through another election where they can be thrown out. But that's what happened. The stalemate means status quo ante. What it is it's a parliamentary system with multiple parties in Israel. It's not even like Great Britain where they only really have two big parties and one or two, medium-sized ones. This has like 11 parties that are likely to win seats in their parliament, their Knesset. And you need 61 for a majority of the 120, and no one party, not even Netanyahu's Likud, is likely to get more than about 34, 35 seats. That means those 34, 35 seats, that party has to join with some of the other smaller parties to get to 61. And that has, that last time it proved impossible. Neither side could get enough parties to join their coalition to go over the 61 that was needed.
Yeah, and I want to spend too much time on it, but I mean, for people, you know, coming from our system looking over, it's interesting because you don't get the majority and you got to build a coalition. You might take a party that really would be on the fringe. I'm not saying Netanyahu is doing this, but in some of those parliamentary systems, there's enough of them that you can offer them this one thing that's not a big deal to your constituents, and a party that's a, one of those medium tier or lower tier players can move into being part of that coalition because the thing they're asking for is amenable to the to your group.
Yeah, if we had more time, it would only take about 90 seconds to explain what it is that that one party that left the coalition, Netanyahu's coalition, what it is that they objected to.
Do it. Yeah, we got 90 seconds. Let it roll.
Okay, well, there's an ultra-Orthodox party that wants to preserve an exemption for ultra-Orthodox religious students to not join the army. Everybody else in Israel has to serve some time in the armed services. The ultra-Orthodox have always had an exemption since the beginning of Israel, and there's another conservative party that is secular, that's non-very religious, and they object to the exemption. They say everybody should have to serve in the military. And because Netanyahu can't satisfy both of them, if he goes with the secular party, he loses the 5 votes of the ultra-Orthodox. If
right.
he goes with the ultra-Orthodox, he loses the 8 votes of that secular party. And either way, he falls just a couple of votes short of the majority. That's what happened last time, and it's all over automatic military service.
Makes for interesting political discussion. All right, we have, while we stay in that region, have just about 2 minutes, that's it, left here. Situation between Saudi Arabia and Iran, or if you want to say it's the Houthis, roll with that.
Clearly it was Iran. I mean, all the intelligence, all the signs are that Iran did this drone attack that knocked out nearly 25% of Saudi Arabia's oil, which means just over 5% of the world's production. And the question is, what do you do? People will say, well, that's just between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Well, it's not, because what Iran is really doing is deliberately affecting the whole world economy, holding the whole world economy hostage. And that brings, you know, that means we have an interest in it, too. It means everybody has an interest in it, too. And so the question is, are our interests materially enough affected that there's anything we can or should do in response? And that's what Trump is trying to figure out right now.
Yeah, but what do you do? I mean, another military engagement based on, let's just say what it is, it's oil.
It's also a complete violation of international law and international norms. And again, you can do.
But it's about oil.
Well, yeah, it's about a violation of a sovereign state as well. Just like when Iraq invaded Kuwait. So it's about more than oil, but yes, it's mainly about oil. And there are all sorts of things you can do militarily that do not involve boots on the ground. You can do a surgical airstrike. That's one of the options Trump is considering.
All right, good stuff. Quinn, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right, coming right back, we'll grab your calls at 343-0106.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 837 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I want to talk about trucks this morning because what I understand is that you got a great deal right now on the McConnell Automotive lot.
You know, Dalton, we always hope that we do, but I think, you know, the truck itself, the new GMC Sierra is something everybody's checking out. The new Ram truck is amazing. Of course, we know the Ford's awesome, but the GMC's got some stuff that no other truck Dalton has. And the main thing we know about that six-function tailgate, but it's also got a suspension system and a transmission, some things that match up. So I'm just inviting anybody that's out there in the truck market, you know, don't buy a truck, not even a Chevy, unless you drive the GMC first. And Dalton, the thing I was telling you off air, we've got 20% off the legit sticker price on the Z71 X31 version of his truck, man. And so if people go to our website, they can see those deals. We got a great selection of them. And these are the kind of discounts, Dalton, is the biggest discount since the new tailgate truck came out, is this 20% off. And we've got a couple of them that were demonstrators that we're doing even more, buddy. So we hope people check it out and do it quick.
And if they come out to the lot today, I'm sure you'll let them ride around in one to get the feel for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We even got some Alabama Auburn colors, the beautiful red and the beautiful blue. But, of course, great selections, black, white, silver, all that stuff, man. But we love people to come and test drive one.
Hey, some good stuff. Thank you, Mitch.
Y'all have a great week.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right. Phone line, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. This text here, let's see here, David says, Quinn is going to make me start sounding like a yellow-bellied liver-spotted, tree-hugging Democrat, no war for oil. I just wanted to interject that. I mean, there's, you know, the oil is a component.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the same things happen somewhere else, this is, you know, I'm as patriotic as the day is long. I don't think there should be, you know, any doubt on this Constitution Day, which mm-hmm. I'm in love with. What do I have love for? I got love for the Constitution. But I want to keep an open eye here. And we need the Saudis as an ally. It makes me want to dry heave to mm-hmm. say that. But we need the Saudis as an ally. But this is where's the win for us other than oil? Why would you even get into this? Why would you risk getting into this if not for oil? And maybe you have a great reason.
I don't know. The only other other than oil, which that's like saying, you know, other than 90% of the reason why we're there in the first place.
Correct.
You got Saudi Arabia. That's a pretty strategic place right there in the Middle East, and keeping them on our side is one thing. But
that's right.
You know, I'm sure we could probably use other allies to help cover that part of the earth. I'm really interested because, you know, it's a really important time right now. You know, every day is an important day internationally, but with the pressure that's been placed on Iran with President Trump and just kind of the squeeze that's been put there on that country, they're in a bad place right now. And I've heard some interviews, read some interviews with their people there in Iran who might not be so happy with the leadership and the mm-hmm. Toll that the economy is taking on them. So Iran is, you know, they're bitter right now and they're striking out and they're trying to draw us into
sure.
reacting in some form or fashion. And
if you want proof that the sanctions are working,
mm-hmm.
the reaction of Iran is proof the sanctions are working.
And our reaction will depend. And, you know, we could just wait and let things happen, and maybe there would be, you know, a coup there in Iran. Maybe the people would
remember
rise
the Green
up.
Revolution that they attempted it.
But if we do something, if we act the wrong way, it could swing back the other way, and you could have the Iranians, you know, all completely back on board with their government. You know, bad America's coming
yep.
and getting
yep.
in the way of things again. So I'm interested in what Saudi Arabia does too, because it wasn't us that got hit. It was Saudi Arabia that got hit by this attack. Right now, they're kind of really taking their time. They're saying that they want an investigation done. They're not they haven't said that they're going to attack Iran mm-hmm. or anything like that. They're kind of letting it play out. But how we react and how Saudi Arabia reacts, I mean, this could set the stage for the next few decades here.
Yeah, well said. And you know, you got a couple things at play here too. You have allies in the region and you have uncommitted countries that aren't completely against us, not completely for us. So that's part of the game to be played too, to see if you could curry favor with those fake mm-hmm. folks and try to build some kind of coalition against those people and let those people work against Iran. And, you know, we stay in the business of selling arms to those people,
yeah,
making money, but you know, not involving and the chance is, I mean, if what kind of war? If you go strike, you do missile strikes and all those things, at a certain point, the Iranians, we're not dealing with, a third world nation. They could take some licks
mm-hmm.
in bunkers and all that stuff. They can take some licks. And I know we could talk mother of all bombs and doing all that stuff, but how far do we want to go with that? How far do we want to go with the Iranians?
And what about, you know, a country that hasn't been mentioned in a while now, Russia? What about Big Brother over there, who's, you know, pretty tight with Iran?
Yeah, so, I mean, where do we go from there? Phone calls, 343-0106, and Derek in Fairhope first up. Hey, Derek.
What's going on, man? I'm on the Bluetooth in the car, so I hope you can hear me.
That's pretty good.
All right, so it is about oil. It's all about oil. It's all about keeping the actual price per barrel of oil high. If Iranian oil and Venezuelan oil hit the market, then it drops the price down of a barrel of oil to around $35, $40 a barrel.
That's bad for Saudi.
Huh?
That's bad for the Saudis.
Well, it's bad for the Saudis. It's also even worse for us because with all the fracking that we're doing, the fracking process is extremely inefficient. It loses money. So it has to have a higher price per barrel.
Well, sure. We talked about that. We talked about that in the 6 o'clock hour, but... I know that buddies of mine that had gone to work in the Bakken field had come home because they weren't producing it. Like, they had backed that way off, if not closed down some of those facilities because the price was low enough that it wasn't worth doing.
Exactly. So, you know, all of this is just a big hubbub, you know, to keep that price of oil high. And especially, too, with Saudi Arabia about to do the Aramco deal. You know, if the price is higher, then it works out for them because they can produce it at about $20 a barrel. So, you know, if the price goes higher, hey, they're fine. We've got an oil glut right now anyway. So it's really just comes down to the almighty petrodollar. And, you know, what is that game? It's a shell game. You know, it's there's a big thing that Saudi Arabia, you know, may have done a lot of this themselves, you know. So, you know, whatever this, you know, stuff is on the news, that ain't what it is, man. That's what they want you to know. But it comes down to just controlling the flow of oil.
There you go. Appreciate the call, Derek.
Shell game. That's a good play on words.
Yeah, that's funny. I get jokes. It's interesting. Dale says, fight is ultimately about oil being priced in U.S. dollars. Iran wants oil barrel priced in the yuan. I always have trouble with that. The Chinese currency.
Yuan.
The yuan. Is it yuan?
I don't know.
How do you pronounce it? It's Y-U-A-N. I've heard yuan, yuan. Mm-hmm.
Other than, you know.
Anybody speak Mandarin can tell me, text me phonetically how somebody in China would say that word.
Yuan. I've been to China. And
I know.
Unfortunately, other than General So's and poo-poo platter, ni hao, the only word I know. But I've always said yuan. I've went with the W.
Okay, so the why, but I don't know, like in other languages, in Romance languages, I get it. I don't know pronunciation of Chinese. You know, I have no basis. I can cobble things together with Romance languages and even German to some degree, but Chinese, I'm like, well.
It's a young language. It's not here to stay.
Right, so somebody saying, you know, the same sound as you know, you want.
You want.
You on.
Okay, that yuan. Works.
You on. You on. All right.
So he's saying that Iran wants oil priced in Chinese currency, not American currency, and that's what this is about. It's a currency war, according to the text.
Yeah, according to interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way. We'll digest some of that and get your calls when we get back at 343-0106, plus the whole drone portion of it. I said this yesterday. I've been saying it actually for a while. What happens when you start having drones that we can't trace or can't easily trace make strikes, and then who do you respond to?
And did John Bolton get our text line? Did you see this text? Make another A-bomb and drop it on him like we did Hiroshima?
Oh, John Bolton is texting. He's got time.
He's got our number.
He's got time. FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Morning, Sean and Dalton. I'd love to take your calls at 343-0106. Remember, the good old website, fmtalk1065.com. Podcast available there. Show schedules for the week, the weekend. Also, three big things, top news stories of the day, online opinion poll questions, just to name a few. And go back and check out some pictures of Bill Finch. my buddy Mike Ward that does the outdoor show with me. You can catch that as well. All that stuff on our website. Of course, you can check us out online, social media-wise, facebook.com/FMTalk1065, and also Twitter at FMTalk1065. What? What?
I just love you. You know, you're going down the line of things you can check out, and pictures of Bill Finch.
Yes.
I just think it's funny. You could listen to the show, or you could look at his pictures.
Or you can do both at the same time. And also, we have pictures of all the stuff that people send into the garden show. All
yes.
The cool plants, you know, the decorative plants and the vegetables and the trees and all. I do love Bill's show.
I do, too.
I'm a big fan. By the way, if you have not heard of Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast, Bill Finch, Sunday mornings at 9.
I'm not even joking. Since I've moved into my house, you know, going on 3 years now that I've been a homeowner, that has been the number one show for
stuff
me.
Changes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, when you buy your home, then you start, like, all the stuff when you're young, like, who cares about grass and getting hedges to look good? You own your house, you're like, mm-hmm. I'm into that stuff.
Yeah, 18-year-old Dalton would want to fight 28-year-old Dalton. That's
right.
For sure.
You're becoming an adult, and I'm so proud. All right, go to the phones. John is in Mobile up next.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Couple things. On the oil price, the guy that called about, you know, keeping the price up, certain countries want it.
Mm-hmm.
One country he left out that, I mean, I didn't hear because I was on the phone with y'all, but if the price of oil collapses, so does Russia's economy.
Yep.
I mean, they're more dependent on the oil price than almost anybody. And so anyway, that's that. But
all right.
The thing about Kavanaugh, the people that are doing this, the liberals would say, well, they're just, you know, trying to do, you know, trying to protect their interests. These are despicable people, okay, that just lie and do whatever they can. You know, the nature of the evidence is irrelevant. It's the seriousness of the charge that is what they're so worried about, and they're just making up lies.
Yep. And I think it's
you've got somebody that's running for president who got her big break in politics because she had an affair with Willie Brown. Okay, and she's supposed to be a moral authority. You know, she must be very talented in the bedroom because Kamala Harris is an idiot. And then you've got Beto O'Rourke, who is, I'm so sick of seeing him, I could scream. And I throw Doug Jones in there right with him. I'm sorry, I do.
There we go. We got his three most done favorites. And John, I think that one of the takeaways here is the fact that the New York Times stepped in it so much. I think I don't think we truly will have an Icarus moment because there's so many people galvanized in their belief on either side. but when the New York Times goes with this and then they've got mud on their face, I think that helps people, I think, down the road, not just hear a headline and assume something's true. You know, just wait a little bit. Do mm-hmm. a little research before you come to your conclusion. By the way, Freddie on Twitter, thank you. Freddie said, who has oil field experience, he said, fracked oil needs to be above $50 a barrel to be profitable.
Wow.
So that's that number. And I know watching guys from here, I know that we're working in the Bakken field, mm-hmm. Then the economy's going good and they're coming home. I'm like, well, dude, why are you coming home? He's like, well, when the gas prices drop at a certain point, they slow down production up there. There are other jobs for them here as the economy picked up. But there's so it's $50 a barrel, Freddie says. That's the break point where it makes it worth getting the oil, the tar sands oil out.
Now, obviously, there's a lot of
shale oil in that case. Right?
There's a lot of short-term problems right now around the world that we got to worry about. But I'm wondering, you know, big picture, as we move on from fossil fuels, if anyone is ever really able to find, you know, a long-term solution to the energy problem, what will that mean for international relations? I mean, we're talking about how much Russia and Saudi Arabia and Iran depend on oil. What happens when somebody comes out with just an incredible way to, I don't know, get energy from the sun or water? I don't know.
There's some people that are, I am a person that's on the side of fossil fuels because I'm realistic. At the same time, you know, I I'm like a solar energy nerd, right? I've got solar panels I run. I'm into that. I'm into alternative energies. There are some people that think they got to choose a team. Like, I'm fossil fuel, mm-hmm. so any alternative energy is stupid. Well, that's just ignorant.
Yeah,
that is as ignorant as saying the Green New Deal, that in the next couple of years we can switch to no fossil fuels. That's also ignorant. But having your mind open and saying, okay, we've got to have fossil fuels, we're using this, but we should be trying to research what can be done with alternative energy sources. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to be energy independent down to the level of your home?
Mm-hmm.
To be your home, your footprint, your street, your block, your neighborhood. You could provide your energy. Would that not be fantastic?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Why wouldn't you want that? But in the reality, in the meantime, fossil fuels are a thing. This is how the world works.
Yeah, the people that are on either side, the side that says you shouldn't be using fossil fuels at all right now, they're unrealistic. But unless you're making all of your money from the sale of oil,
mm-hmm.
why would you not be behind somebody working on a real world solution to this?
Because people don't think deeply. They're told by somebody out there, and this will rub some people the wrong way. Sorry, that's what we do. Although I had a friend of mine come in and say I was being easy and soft on people today, that you would think that, okay, I got to be this because I'm so bothered by environmentalists, that the absolute opposite of these crazy environmentalists is all fossil fuels with no research into anything else. That's ignorant. That's ignorant. Fossil fuels are part of our life for quite a while. At the same time, if we can figure out how to store battery-wise the power of the sun, why wouldn't we?
Mm.
Huh? All right. We'll talk about this again at noon. Mike Gallagher next.